Okay, my question for this morning. I always seem to start a sermon with a question, don't I, lately? Anyway, my question for this morning, what do Pop-Tarts, Fruity Pebbles, and Legos have in common? I think they probably have a lot of things in common. I don't know. Well, for starts, they're not just for kids anymore, right? Any of you grown-ups, not kids, any of you grown-ups enjoy a nice hot Pop-Tart every now and then? Or just grab an envelope on your way out the door because you can eat it in the car, right? How about a handful of Fruity Pebbles when no one's looking? Then what about Legos? Well, they've been around. 1932 is when Legos were invented. And in 62, they started being sold in the U.S. Heck, I had them when I was a kid. Everyone have Legos when you were a kid? Those of you who didn't are pretty old. I don't know. That's. And over the years, they've gotten more and more fancy and expensive. There are hundreds of Lego model kits to choose from. That would make anyone happy. Now, you kids, who has Lego model kits? If you're into it, then you're really into those model kits. But do any of us grown-ups still play with Legos? We don't have any at home anymore now that our daughter's gone, so I can't say yes or no. But it turns out there are. Several major corporations use Legos. I kid you not, I can't possibly make this stuff up. They use Legos to screen potential employees, Pricewaterhouse and Google, to name a few. And they ask potential new employees in the interview process to create buildings or bridges using the fewest bricks to make the strongest structures possible. It's a way, I guess, to test creativity. There are even Lego consultants. Dang, there's just so many ways to make money these days. For $7,000, I kid you not, a two-day workshop you can go to as a business type, where plastic Lego bricks are used to build, they call them metaphorical abstractions of various business challenges. For example, your metaphorical abstraction, if you got one of those bosses, those mean, evil bosses that is crushing the spirits of everyone who works under him or her, your Lego creation might look like this giant Lego monster stepping on all these little Lego people. It's simple, but since the workshop costs $7,000, you can't call it play. You have to call it metaphorical abstraction. The prophet Ezekiel was called by God to do exactly the same, that metaphorical abstraction, or creative re-envisioning, whatever the common buzzword is these days. When the people of Israel were trapped in exile in Babylon, they were far from home. They were feeling hopeless and lost. They felt dried up and depressed. And in the middle of this spirit-draining, soul-sucking situation, the hand of the Lord comes upon Ezekiel and gives him this vision of a valley full of bones, free of charge, not $7,000, free of charge, he's given this vision. An entire valley full of bones and an invitation to do some metaphorical abstraction on his own. He's given some bones and a question. Mortal, can these bones live? Think of those bones, dry bones, bleached bones, dead, disgusting, disorganized, disconnected, lifeless bones. Bones that are hard to believe actually ever belong to something living. And yet, they might still be able to illustrate something important in the right hands. We have Legos. Ezekiel had a whole valley of dry bones. Either will work. Mortal, can these bones live? God asks the prophet. Now you can imagine there's complete silence at this point, with Ezekiel wondering, is this a trick question or what? Dry, dead, disconnected, lifeless bones. Can they live? Maybe God should have asked, mortal, what are we going to do with all of these dry bones? Any ideas? Now, there's a good interview question for a potential new prophet. But Ezekiel knows that when it comes to our one Lord God, that the sky is the limit to what is possible. So he answers, and I love his answer. He answers very carefully, O Lord God, you know. That's not an answer, is it? Prophesy to these bones, commands the Lord. Say to them, well, you know how it goes, right? O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Do you hear children's songs and spirituals in there? Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Well, you can imagine Ezekiel doesn't know exactly what's going to happen, but he's definitely up for something wild and crazy when it comes to God. So he prophesies to the bones, and they begin to come together. You know, just like in the song, sing it in your head. And then the sinews appear, followed by flesh and skin, but there's still no breath in them. So God says, prophesy to the breath, prophesy to the wind. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain so that they may live. So Ezekiel prophesies as God commands, and the breath comes into them, and they come to life, a vast multitude of living people. This is serious stuff here. This whole thing is like a page out of the playbook for those Lego consultants to use in a workshop. Those dry old bones make a good visual example to show Israel what is wrong with their lives. And then God interprets the vision for Ezekiel, saying, mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. And they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost, and we are cut off completely. You see, the people of Israel are feeling exactly that way, dead and dried up, defeated and scattered all over the place as they rot in exile in Babylon. But God hasn't forgotten them like they think. And he promises to open their graves and bring them back to their homeland. And he says, I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. You see, the key is God's spirit in this whole passage, that awesome life-giving power that can bring hope to the hopeless and life to the most disconnected and lifeless of bones. And that's the spirit that Ezekiel calls upon when he says, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain. That's the spirit that brings the dead to life, because it's the wind, breath, spirit, whatever word you choose, of God that fills those dead bodies and causes them to stand on their feet as a vast multitude. So the answer to God's original question to Ezekiel is really quite simple. Mortal, can these bones live? Yes, if they're filled with the Spirit of God. And that very same is true for us. That's why God gives life to these bones, so that they will know that the Lord is God. And that's why God brings the people of Israel back to their homeland, so that they will know that God will and can act. That's why God gives a baby to some senior citizens named Abraham and Sarah, so that they will know that nothing is too wonderful for the Lord. That's why God gives a son to a virgin named Mary, so that she will know that nothing is impossible with God. And that's why God fills us with God's life-giving spirit, so that we will know that God is alive and well and active right here, right now, whenever and wherever we need it most. At the heart of this passage from Ezekiel is the message, O Lord God, only you know, which is a fancy way and prophet talk of saying, but God can. As in, when we are lost, God can find us. And when we're crushed by guilt, God can lift the burden. And when we're without vision, God can inspire us. And when we're overwhelmed, God can calm us. And when we're feeling attacked, God can deliver us. And when we're feeling disconnected and lifeless and dry and bleached and scattered, God can reconnect us and refresh us and revive us. God can take even death itself and transform it into life. God can, even when we think it's impossible. So ask yourself this on this day of Pentecost 2021. What do these dry bones tell us about who we are as a congregation? And where do we need the Spirit of God to be at work among us? And what will new life look like after we open ourselves up to the power of the Spirit? God says to Ezekiel, mortal, these bones are the entire house of Israel. And God says to us today, mortal, these bones are the whole congregation of this church. When our bones are dried up and when our bones feel scattered, when our hope is lost, when we're feeling completely cut off, at that precise moment, the challenge for us is to turn to God and ask Him to fill us with His Spirit. The promise is that God will put His Spirit within us, and we will live, and we will know that the Lord has spoken and will act. Pastor Kathleen Chesnut says that this passage from Ezekiel reminds her that there's a difference between a congregation coming together for worship and a bunch of people who just happen to be there at the same time. See, a congregation is a living, breathing, growing expression of the Spirit, not just us as individuals, but us as an entire congregation. And when you don't have that life, all you have is just a bunch of bones. You know, if there's one thing, as I think back over this past year, that COVID has tried to rob us of as a church, it is to steal the life from us and scatter us from the four winds. And you know what? Pentecost 2020, 1 year ago, was exactly that, scattered to the four winds, dry and dismembered. But only if we let it happen. We are better by the power of the Spirit, much better than that. And this year has proven that, because you know what? We haven't been dismembered, have we? You are all here today as a congregation, not as a collection of people. We are not dismembered, and we are not scattered, and we are not torn apart. We are here today better than ever by the grace of God and in the grace of the Spirit of God. And here we stand, fully assembled, complete. No extra parts left lying in the box that we don't know what to do with. It's all used. God can bring life to those dry old bones in Ezekiel's valley, and God can bring life to us. Only God can, if we are open to the Spirit. Amen.